Good morning to each one. Greetings in Christ's name. What a beautiful day we have to be together in the Lord's house and look into His Word. Trust we will continue to be blessed as we do that. All right, today is Mother's Day. I think we all realize that. Thankful for our mothers that are with us today. I'm especially thankful to have my mother here with me today. I don't very often have that privilege, but today is a special day. However, I think Alan did well in speaking to the mothers last Sunday, so we won't attack you, or I'm not sure what. Not that I feel like he attacked you, but I didn't feel led to continue on with that today, but I did want to give recognition to it being that special day again. Certainly, we are thankful for that. You can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like to look at a familiar portion of Scripture, a familiar verse, I guess, here. Pick out one verse here and focus on that this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We have this: study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, a familiar verse. We probably all have memorized that verse in school or some point in time. What I'd like for us to think about this morning is the thought I've titled the message, A Workman Approved Unto God. We are here to serve God. I appreciate what Brother Sanford had to say this morning in relation to that. That is our calling, to serve God. Along with that, we are called to serve one another. We are called to love one another, and those things were brought out. But primarily our thoughts will be centered around a workman that is approved unto God. Today we are all servants. I trust that we are. That is what the child of God is called to be. Servants unto God, first of all, and servants one to another. And here in the book of Timothy, I'm impressed with the writings of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Paul had a very obvious, real burden for this young man. Verse 2 of chapter 1, he calls him his dearly beloved son. Paul's desire for Timothy was that he would be the servant of the Lord that he was called to be. He was certain that Timothy had that calling to be an approved servant of the Lord. And I'm sure that is the desire of each of us. If we would if I'd go and ask each one, I'm sure that would be our desire. It's where we want to find ourselves, to be an approved, not only just a servant, but an approved servant of the Lord. There are many people today who want to serve the Lord. They would say that in words. They want to be useful in the kingdom. Many individuals want to find themselves useful, and they do many things in order to gain that useful feeling. There are people who are willing to sacrifice a lot. There are people who are willing to go through a lot of physical difficulties in order for the Lord to recognize them, in order for them to receive recognition, and to be accepted for the sacrifices that they have made. I've been told that there are people who have actually gone through the process of being crucified to a cross in order for the Lord to recognize their dedication. People do many things to try to be approved of God. In the physical sense, to be approved is a desire that is natural. We have that desire within us, and it's not necessarily wrong. It's not all wrong to a desire to be for approval, to be approved. We see that in children at a very young age. Well, people want to be approved. They want to be recognized. They want to be accepted. Well, this morning it is much more important that we live our lives in a way that God is pleased to approve. It's a pleasure to Him to approve, that He is pleased to approve of our service to Him, of our service to one another. And it is the only way that His blessing can rest on our lives. We know that to be approved of men is not necessarily God's standard of approval as to whether or not we are doing His will. There are many people who somewhat have that mixed up. They measure their usefulness to the Lord by their level of acceptance and approval of men, by how people look at their lives. That's a pretty easy thing to fall into, subconsciously or maybe even intentionally. We dare not do that. Our measurement or the way we prove whether or not we are in the Lord's will is finally according to God's word, the principles in God's word, what He has laid out, and it's clear. It is clear in Scripture. And that is what we want to look at this morning. We want to look at the book of 2 Timothy, and especially the second chapter. There are some very practical guidelines laid out here as to what it means to be an approved servant of God. As I mentioned, the Apostle Paul had a real burden for this young minister. In the first book of Timothy, Paul gave a lot of practical direction as to how Timothy was to order his life. He gave direction how Timothy was to order the work of the church that he was called to lead. And this is continued in the second book as well. We notice in chapter 1, verse 7, he gave Timothy some encouragement. No doubt Timothy was facing some discouragements, some hardships and difficulties in life as he related to other people. He was more than likely relating to situations that were beyond his control. In verse 7 of chapter 1, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Also verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." We have another encouragement in verse 13. "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." May we take these encouragements to our personal lives as well, as we face life, as we face the duties, the responsibilities that God has placed upon us, as we face opportunities that are ours as a result of our commitment to Jesus Christ. Let's not become fearful and discouraged. Let's take courage that God has given us the spirit of power. He's given us the spirit of love. He's given us the spirit of a sound mind where we can feel His presence and where we can feel His direction in our lives. I'm thankful for that. Before we go further in this, I would like for us to think just a bit about why is the Lord calling us to serve Him? Why is that? You know, as we look back at our lives, at our past, what did God see in me? What did God see in you? What did God see in your life and in my life that He was willing to make it possible for us to be His people? As we look back at our lives, we can think of probably many reasons why the Lord could have chosen not to accept us as His servants. We can identify with the description of man in Ephesians 2. We could just turn to that, returning to a number of scripture. We'll try to move fairly rapidly through some of these. You don't need to turn to them all if you don't care to. But Ephesians chapter 2, here it describes the condition of man without Christ. We know what that was like. Let's read verses 1 through 8 of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the work of Christ in our life that makes us accepted. It is through his mercy and through his grace that we can experience his presence in our lives personally. It's just as the apostles there in the early church, they had no power in themselves. It wasn't there. There was nothing in their own lives that could generate the power of God that was seen by the people around them, that was seen in them. It was only by the power of God and through the Holy Spirit working in them that was seen and that made an impact. And this morning, that is the platform from which we must start as we think of being a servant of the Lord. If we are going to be one whom the Lord can bless, if we are going to be one who is an approved workman, an approved servant, it is through the power of God and the presence of the Spirit of God in our hearts. I'd like to look now at some characteristics. I have a number of them. I'd like to go through some characteristics of the servant of the Lord. And a lot of these we'll be taking from 2 Timothy. Going back to a number of scriptures here in 2 Timothy. The first one I want to notice is found in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 2. I'd like to read that. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the point I have here simply is be strong. Be strong. Be loyal. The Christian life is not for the weak. It is not for the wavering. The Christian life is not for the intemperate. The Christian life is for the individual who is strong. Maybe that is not saying it quite right. We know that salvation is for all of mankind. We recognize that. But we are called to be strong. It is a battle against the forces of evil. It takes endurance. And we notice this in many other examples. We could turn to Colossians. Many times, Paul, in writing to the church at Colossae, challenged them to be strong, to endure, to be faithful, to be grounded, to be filled with knowledge. There is no other way that we can that they would be able to serve God unless they were strong. Unless they were strong in the grace of Christ. Unless they were able to withstand the powers of darkness. Unless they were able to meet the opposition that as the apostles did there in Acts. And there is no way that they would be acceptable in the service of the Lord unless they were willing to humble themselves and allow the power of God to be a part of their lives. This is all a part of being strong, the words that it uses here. Being strong is to have a knowledge of the truth. You know, the enemy comes from all directions and with many weapons. We must have that knowledge of truth in our hearts. We must be strong and prepared to face those things. An approved servant of the Lord will accept those challenges and be able to, with God's help, with the power of Christ in his life, be able to overcome those things. We know that the conflict between righteousness and unrighteousness has been going since the fall, way back there in the Garden of Eden. The powers of darkness have fought and have tried to overcome the powers of truth and righteousness. That conflict has gone through the ages and is, well, certainly is going very strong today yet. But we must recognize that and realize that the battle is, there is a battle within our hearts and lives. And what are we doing in that battle? Are we strong? Are we victorious? Are we gaining the victory? Are we able to face those struggles? In Hebrews 5, the Hebrew writer was disappointed with the Hebrew Christians. Let's just turn to that. Hebrews chapter 5. Maybe we'll begin reading in verse 12 and read through chapter 6, verse 1. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And it goes on. And so, it is the will of God, and it is His plan for the Christian to go on to perfection and to not linger with the light things of the Word, not to linger without growth, not to linger without exercising gifts and the things that God has given to us. God's plan is that we move on. God's plan is that we grow and become more established, more rooted, more grounded in the truth. Why? So that we are better able to face the enemy, so that we are better able to face the difficulties that come. It is imperative that we are prepared for the battle. We cannot stand. We cannot be a servant of God unless we are willing to stand without embarrassment, without any apology, and to face the battle. Be strong. Going back to 2 Timothy 2 for our second point again. Second characteristic I have of an approved servant of the Lord is enduring hardness. And I realize some of these things are very much tied together, but enduring hardness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Endure hardness. We know how it is in a physical warfare. If there would be those who would be unwilling to face hardness and the struggle of warfare, if there would be those who would be intimidated by the enemy, they would not be an asset to the warfare. They would possibly even be, they would probably be a liability. And that is somewhat similar in the Christian life as well. If we are not willing to face hardness, then we are not an asset to the work of the kingdom. The work of the kingdom needs people who are willing to work hard and to endure hardness for the cause of Christ. Endure hardness that comes. It's not easy work where we can just coast along and slide along, as it were. As we look into the world around us, we see people who want less work for more money and more time for to themselves. People want better conditions and better situations. We see that all around us. They want themselves to be taken care of. They are not so concerned about other people. They're not concerned about their neighbor. They're even possibly those who they would call their brothers. Who cares if our neighbor is struggling? That is his own business, not mine. The only thing they really care about is themselves. They want conditions to be suitable for themselves. And I'm concerned that that we are being affected by this attitude. I see it in my own life at times. Are we affected by this attitude? I'm afraid that this attitude is creeping in on us and we don't realize it. As a child of God, as a servant of God, our priority must be in seeking the good of one another, seeking the good of others. Our priority is in the work of the kingdom, Christ's work. It is for the message of Christ to be proclaimed to others. It's not about myself. It is for the example of God's goodness. It is for the example of God's power and to be expressed, in our lives, where we are willing to face the rigors or the difficulties that come with that. What do I think about? Am I thinking about myself? Where are my priorities? Are we willing to face a little hardship at times for the cause of Christ? Many times when we stop and evaluate the things that seem like a hardship to us, they really are quite small and insignificant things. And I'm challenged many times by the three Hebrew men who stood there before the king. And the things that took place there, they had in the presence of many people not bowed to the image like they were commanded to do. They had been given strict instruction to do that, and they were not about to bow down to that. In fact, they told the king that it really didn't matter what would happen, whether you give us another chance or not, we will not bow. They were facing hardness there anyway that I question if any of us have ever been faced with opposition to the point where our lives are threatened. We also have the example of the Apostle Paul. He faced a lot of difficult things in life. Not only did he face opposition in life, in chapter 3 of Philippians, I believe it is, he talks about the things that he could have had. He counted them all but dung. He was willing to lay those things down for the sake of Christ. The power of Christ was magnified in his life. Even when Paul was in prison, when he was bound, the power of God was there and it was brought out. It was magnified. Maybe we could just turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Verses 12 through 14. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That's the point that I wanted there. The things that have happened unto me were for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Here was a man who was willing to accept hardness that the gospel brought into his life. He recognized that it was a blessing to others around him. It was a blessing to the church. It was making the church stronger. It was making them more bold. It was giving them confidence in Christ. Are we willing? Are we strong enough to help? Are we strong enough to bring that blessing to the brotherhood, our brethren, those that we are with? Each one of us faces that responsibility. As an approved servant, we will be willing to face whatever may come. We will be willing to face the responsibilities and the uncertainties for the sake of the gospel. Your lives, our lives, my life is what will attract people or is what will hinder the progress of the work of the church. I'm convinced of that. Are we willing to take our place? Number three, the third characteristic of an approved servant of the Lord that I've found is found in verse 7. 2 Timothy 2 simply says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Paul had given Timothy a lot of instruction. He had a lot to say. There was probably a lot of things that he shared with Timothy that we don't even have recorded in Scripture. Paul is telling Timothy now, consider what I say. Consider what I have told you. Think about those things that have come to your attention. Think about the hardness. Think about enduring. Think about being strong, about being faithful, about the work of the church, about your personal life. Just think about those things. Consider these things and allow the Lord to help you understand them. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to allow the words of the brethren to penetrate our lives? We need that. I need that in my life. Maybe they see something in my life that needs help and encouragement in. We see that at times. Maybe a rebuke or correction is needed. Are we willing to stop and consider? Are we willing? The natural tendency is to back off and rebel against those things. The tendency is to protect myself. I've been there. I've felt that way at times. Protect myself. We want to figure out things on our own. We tend to consider our rights, our opinions as pretty important. Maybe you don't face that, but I do. I think if we're all honest, we would recognize that we do. We tend to consider our rights, how we feel about something, our opinions, whatever it is, as pretty important. Are we willing to give an ear? Are we willing to listen? There are many people who lose their approval by failing to consider the voice of wisdom and the voice of experience, the voice of counsel. They consider their own opinions to be superior. It all has to do with relating to others. In Romans 12, it says, "Be not wise in your own conceits." In other words, be not wise in your own eyes. The Lord often helps us discern issues through our brethren. Personal relationships are enhanced by our willingness to listen to one another, by our willingness to consider one another. Personal relationships grow and are enhanced by that. Are we willing to do that? Moving on to the next characteristic. Let's read verses 10 through 14 of 2 Timothy 2. Verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." The verse that I want to focus on is in verse 10. "For this point, an approved servant of the Lord will endure all things for the elect's sake." This is not typical of our own self. It is not typical of people today, but it is typical of the Christian. It is typical of the servant of the Lord for us to be willing to face life in its difficulties for the sake of the brethren is typical of the Christian. It is typical of the one who is warm-hearted. It is typical of the one who has a transformed life. There is a real example of this in Luke 16. I'm not going to take the time to read that. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man there who had the opportunity to help, and he failed to take that opportunity. He failed to sacrifice, if we want to call it a sacrifice. I'm sure that Lazarus would have been happy for a little, but the rich man failed the opportunity that was laying right there at his door. What was the result? He failed. He missed it. Because of that failure in seeking and taking that opportunity, he perished. Let's turn to Matthew 25. I like to read a number of verses here. Keep in mind as we read what Paul said about facing life for the elect's sake. Not sure where to begin reading here. Let's begin reading verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto me? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Today we have opportunities all around us. They are all about us. They are amongst us. What are we doing about it? Are we taking our place? As I mentioned, it is typical of the child of God. It is typical of the servant of God to be helpful, to be caring, to be compassionate. And why do I say that? Why can I say that? We see here in Matthew 25, these individuals who had been faithful in their service, they didn't even realize at times that they had sacrificed for the welfare of other people. It was a part of life to them. It was so much a part of life to them that they didn't realize it. It was just that way. It was the way they related to the situations that they were facing in life from day to day. And I believe that is the way that it will be today. Let's turn yet to 2 Corinthians 1. Number of verses there. 2 Corinthians 1, read verses 3 through 6. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that ye may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. There is a reason why the Lord allows us to go through situations, even though we may not understand them. All of us can identify with that. We face sickness. We face experiences of losing loved ones. We face many other experiences in life that we don't understand. But there is a reason why the Lord allows these things to come into our lives. And one of the reasons, I believe, is that we might in turn be able to help others. So may we never question the hand of God in our lives. God has a plan for us. It's all a part of being that approved servant of His. It is a part of meeting His approval. May we remember that the way to heaven, the way to glory, the way to the presence of God is through these experiences. Without our willingness to do that, we will be losing those blessings. Well, in conclusion, coming to the verse that we started out with, study to show thyself approved unto God. Concentrate on the fact. Be determined. The word study there means a lot more than just reading the Bible. It means putting forth an effort. Be determined by the grace of God to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman, not one who is lazy, not one who is satisfied with the easy things in life, but one who is willing to face hardness in any situation we might face, that needeth not to be ashamed. that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. May we rise to the challenge and be prepared unto every good work. A life approved of God, whose life is acceptable, is an acceptable offering, will make a difference. It doesn't matter if you are young or old. For a person who has subscribed to the power of God, there will be a difference in that person's life. Being that servant that God wants us to be is important. My desire is that daily our lives would express the power of Christ and portray His goodness. And that's my desire for my life. That's where I want to find myself. And that's the encouragement that I want to leave with each of us to keep on. The call to being an approved servant is a high calling. May our testimony be like Paul's. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And may we continue to do that. May we continue to press on. Let's kneel for prayer.